Thank you for listening to the Bible Expositors Podcast with your host, Stephen Baker, taking you verse by verse through the Word of God from the pulpit of Harmony Baptist Church in Dalton, Georgia.
The title of the message this evening is Our Care for You in the Sight of God, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 12 through 16. And in this passage, Paul has been writing to the Corinthians, and we have talked about repentance this morning, about Christian repentance. Paul had written a letter to them that made them sorry, and that godly sorrow that they had produced repentance, and that repentance was not just a superficial change of mind, but it brought about real change in their lives. And we talked about that this morning in that very convicting verse. And then when we get into verse 12, we look first of all at the motive for Paul's writing. Why did he write the letter that made them sorry? What was his motive? And so we'll look at that first. And let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll begin. Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us be in your house tonight. I do pray that you would forgive me for my sins. I pray that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit. And I do pray that you would just help us tonight to learn from your word. For we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name above every name. Amen. So the motive for Paul's writing. So 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 12, wherefore, though I wrote unto you, I did it not for his cause that had done the wrong, nor for his cause that suffered wrong, but that our care for you in the sight of God might appear unto you. So Paul says, I did it not. I didn't write this letter to you for his cause that had done the wrong. That is, the incestuous person in the church, if this is referring to the letter of 1 Corinthians, or it is some other person who committed a big public sin, if it's not referring to 1 Corinthians, because some people think it is, and some people think that Paul wrote a letter, another letter, in between 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians that is called the sorrowful letter or harsh letter. It is a letter that if Paul did write it, it's been lost. But that doesn't really concern me because Paul, in his lifetime, they didn't have phones or text messages or email. So they wrote thousands of letters in their lifetime. And the only letters we have preserved from Paul are those which are inspired. So Paul may very well have written another letter to them that was not inspired, that he just quickly wrote rebuking them for this sin, basically ripping their faces off for whatever they were doing. And it caused sorrow and it caused repentance. So he that had done the wrong. And then he that had suffered the wrong is either, if it is referring to 1 Corinthians, it's the father of the incestuous person. If it's not referring to 1 Corinthians, then it's some other person. We don't know who it is. In 1 Corinthians, he that did the wrong was the man that had a sexual relationship with his stepmother, and obviously the offended party would be his father. And that was something so disgusting that the Bible says it's not even mentioned amongst the Gentiles. Even the idol-worshiping Gentiles would not talk about doing something like that, yet it was in the church. It's kind of odd how certain things get into the church. I mean, there's child molesters everywhere, but it seems like the church gets picked out for having child molesters in its midst that are covered up, not reported, and people come up with all kinds of reasons for not doing that. There was one pastor that was very well-known within Baptist ranks, a certain group of Baptists, and he had pastored this huge church, and during the heyday of that movement. He had pastored one of the largest churches in America, and there were rumors about him. And of course, nobody was to believe any of the rumors because they couldn't possibly be true. It's a lie of the devil. And there are lies of the devil that circulate about people. But eventually he was let off in handcuffs for molesting children in the church. And so we don't need to cover stuff up. But my point is, all kinds of things can happen in a church. And you had this situation happening in the church that Paul writes to rebuke. And if it was the situation of this incestuous person, then that's a thing that even the Gentiles wouldn't so much as mention. But nonetheless, Paul wrote the letter. But he says, "Wherefore, though I wrote unto you, I did it not for his cause that had done the wrong, nor for his cause that suffered wrong, but that our care for you in the sight of God might appear unto you." So Paul says, "I wrote the letter to you. I wanted you to know how much we cared for you." And Paul showed his care by telling them to repent, by rebuking them. But he said, "I wanted to show you how much I cared for you, and you were my real motive for writing the letter." Then we see the motive for Paul's joy. The motive for Paul's joy. In verse 13, "Therefore we were comforted in your comfort, yea, and exceedingly the more joyed we for the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you all." So the comfort that the Corinthians had, Paul says, "We were comforted in your comfort, yea, and more exceedingly, the more joyed we for the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you all." In other words, Titus's joy made Paul rejoice. Titus had gone to the Corinthian church, and he had delivered Paul's letter. And the Corinthians, Titus came with the authority of Paul, and the Corinthians repented. And Titus brought back this good news to Paul. And so Titus's joy at their repentance made Paul rejoice. And so we see the motive for Paul's joy was the fact that these people had repented, and that they were comforted, and that Titus had shared this message. Now we see, as we look on down into verse 14, the truth of Paul's boasting. The truth of Paul's boasting. "For if I have boasted anything to him of you," that is to Titus, if I have boasted anything to Titus of you, "I am not ashamed. But as we spake all things to you in truth, even so our boasting which I made before Titus is found a truth." So Paul says, if I boasted anything about you, because Paul is very proud of the Corinthians. They have repented. They are doing right in these areas that he rebuked them in. And so Paul has been boasting to Titus and saying, look at those Corinthians. It's like a proud father. It's like a proud father that looks at the church that he had started, the church that where he had seen people saved, and he's like a proud father, and he boasts to Titus about these Corinthians. "For if I have boasted anything to him of you, I am not ashamed." He said, "I'm not ashamed of my boasting, but as we spake all things to you in truth, even so our boasting which I made before Titus is found a truth." And it's good when your boasting is found a truth. Sometimes we boast about things that aren't true. A lot of people brag when they go fishing. They brag about the fish they have caught, and it's not true. Some people brag about the deer they've shot, and it's not true. Steve's are always true. Roger's are always true, right? I don't even understand.
If you have pictures to back it up.
Well, you can make pictures. Now, I don't understand how they rate the deer anyway. When they talk about a 20-point buck and all that, I don't understand what that means. That's not What's a good one? A 250? What is... I don't understand it. But nonetheless, it's good when boasting is true. And Paul's boasting to Titus of the Corinthians was true boasting. What he was saying about them was true. Verse 15, and his inward affection is more abundant towards you, whilst he remembers the obedience of you all, how with fear and trembling you received him. And so, he's saying Titus has great inward affection for you. He really loves you people. He really cares about you. And he says, while he remembers the obedience of you all, how with fear and trembling you received him. So when Titus came, they didn't kick him out. They received him, but they received him with fear and trembling. And I'm going to read to you a note on this. This is what Gill says about this. How with fear and trembling you received him, that is, with great humility and respect, with much deference to him, considering his character as a minister of the gospel and as one sent by the apostle to them. They embraced him with great marks of honor and esteem. For this is not to be understood of any inward slavish fear or dread of mind or trembling of body at the sight of him. That's very important. Titus, when it says with fear and trembling, it's basically talking about great respect and deference. It's not talking about that they were all, oh, Titus has come. And because he came to know their estate and with reproofs from the apostle to them. So Titus came and brought reproofs from the Apostle Paul, telling them that they needed to correct certain behaviors and they needed to repent. And they received him with respect. They received him with fear and with trembling. And they did what Paul had said they needed to do. They did repent. So we've seen the motive for Paul's writing, the motive for Paul's joy, the truth. Excuse me, there it went. My voice going out again. The truth of Paul's boasting. And now we see finally the good outcome. The good outcome. And so Paul says in verse 16, I rejoice therefore that I have confidence in you in all things. That's a pretty bold statement. I rejoice therefore that I have confidence in you in all things. I don't have confidence in hardly anybody in all things. But then again, what he meant by that, and we're going to read A.T. Robertson and what he said about that word, confidence. And he says that it's speaking of courage. I am of good courage. The outcome has brought joy, courage, and hope to Paul. So that's the kind of confidence he's talking about. Is he's not saying that I trust you in every single area of life. He's simply saying, I am of good courage. What has happened, your repentance, the outcome of all this has brought joy and courage and hope. That's what he's talking about there. Brother Mohan, actually, my friend, said to me a long time ago, he said, you can trust everybody in some area. So he would talk to me about he trusted this person for a certain thing, but not for another thing. And so you have to learn where you can trust people. But Paul says, I'm of good courage because they'd had a good outcome. They'd repented. So I'm going to close with reading this from Matthew Henry. Paul writes almost in a pastoral way to this church, and he loves them like a pastor. And Matthew Henry says, the apostle was not disappointed concerning them, which he signified to Titus, and he could with joy declare the confidence he had in them for the time to come. Here, see the duties of a pastor and of his flock. The latter, that is the flock, must lighten the troubles of the pastoral office by respect and obedience. The former make a due return by his care of them and cherish the flock by testimonies of satisfaction, joy, and tenderness. And that's really what we see is Paul sends the word of God to them. He sends the letter of 1 Corinthians, and then he may have rebuked them in a second letter. And he preaches to them, and he sends Titus to them, and they repented, and they showed obedience to the word of God. It's not when the Bible says that we are to obey them that have the rule over us, for they watch for your souls. That's not saying if your pastor tells you don't buy a black car, then you shouldn't buy a black car. Some people are nuts and they think that's what that means. But what it's talking about is that if the pastor, as the pastor faithfully preaches the word of God, we need to obey what he says, because what he's saying is God's word. And we need to obey the Bible as it's faithfully preached. And then he says the former, the duty of the pastor, and this was what Paul did, was to make a due return by his care of them and cherish the flock by testimonies of satisfaction, joy, and tenderness. So Paul had a good word for the Corinthians, and he had boasting about the Corinthians because they deserved it, because of what they had done. So I think that this gives us a good picture of what we should do as a church and a pastor. Is the pastor doesn't need to run down the flock all the time, as I've heard some pastors do at pastor conferences, where if you listen to them, I don't know why they're pastoring the church. It sounds terrible. Sounds terrible. But they'll run down people, and then the congregation, as the word of God is preached, they need to obey the word of God, and they need to uphold the pastor in prayer, because we're human. I'm human. It's one of the funny things. I was reading a meme on Facebook, and it said, I don't remember what it said, but it was just I'm thinking. There were several points, and it was talking about the duties of a pastor, and it said one of the duties was to be omniscient and know everything about the congregation at all times, and to know, for instance, there are members that get mad if you don't visit them when they're in the hospital, but they never tell anybody they're in the hospital. Usually here, everybody tells Miss Althea. And so Miss Althea will call me so I can know. But there's people that get mad about all kinds of crazy things they assume the pastor should know or do because they assume he's like God. And I have news for everybody here. I'm not God.
Amen.
I'm not God, right? If I was, I wouldn't.
I got examples in the end.
Well, that's better than what I was going to say. Anyway, I'm not God, but I preach God's word. And so wherein I preach God's word, we need to obey and follow the leadership that God has provided through his word. And I believe our deacons as well follow the word of God and provide good leadership. And we need to follow the leadership here. As Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ, right? And the pastor should be able to say good things about the flock. I'm just looking at these words. The former make a due return of his care of them and cherish the flock by testimonies of satisfaction, joy, and tenderness. And so Paul concludes by saying, I rejoice therefore that I have confidence in you in all things. And so I hope that when I'm out and about, I can say I pastor a good church at Harmony Baptist Church.
I hope you
can
say that too.
Okay, I was about to slide into a dramatic ending, and so let me work this up again in some way. I'll see if I can No, I can. I can say that because we really are. We have a great church here. We have a great church. We're not a perfect church by any stretch of the imagination, but we have a good group of people that care about other people and that try and help other people. We have a good group of deacons here who love to serve God and who love to serve the people in the church. And we have people that want to study and learn God's Word. And you can't ask for any more than that. Not every place has that. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for letting us be in your house tonight. We do pray that you would help us to rejoice in your word and in one another. I pray that I would be the kind of pastor that I should be. And I pray that we'd be the kind of church that we should be. And I pray that we would send forth your word to this community and even to the world as we approach our missions conference. So we thank you for the work you're doing here. We do pray you'd bless us and help us. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.